Welcome.
Praise God, the gardener of the vines. Welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church here on this first day of September. For me, September suggests two things. One, the busyness of the children going back to school, but also the coming end of the growing season and the falling of the leaves. This suggests a fitting metaphor for the life of this congregation. As we are journeying through the end of a season, we are also starting up again like school children. This morning, I want to extend a warm welcome to all of you. I'm glad you are here. May God make us fruitful. I invite you to turn to number 29 in the blue hymnal, Like a Murmur of the Dove's Song. Please join me for the calls of the worship printed in the bulletin. I'll read the light print and the congregation can read the bold, and then there's a line at the end for all. We are branches rooted in the vine of Christ. The branches that remain in the vine bear much fruit. If we abide in Christ, then Christ will abide in us. We gather for worship now to the glory of the one God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Please join me in prayer. God of love, plant in us the soil of your grace. Nurture us with the strength of Christ, the vine of everlasting life. Enlighten us with the wisdom of your Spirit, which flows through us today and all days. Abide in us, that we may abide in you and live in your love. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Please turn in the purple Sing the Story book to number 109, Blessing and Honor. And those who are able, please stand. And turn to number 121 in the same book. Nothing is lost on the breath of God.
A confession of faith. Jesus, you are the true vine that heals the nations. You are the tree of life, and we are your branches. They who leave you fade and wither, and none bears fruit except in you. Cleanse us, make us sane, and simplify us until we merge our lives into your spirit. We thrive in you, the vintage. Give ourselves through you, the vine. We can do nothing worthwhile without you. On your life depends each one of ours. Please stand for these words of assurance. Sisters and brothers, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has mercy on us, loves us, and gives us abundant life through his Son Jesus. God heals our hearts and directs our steps. We know that we can safely and joyfully place our lives in God's loving care, and that God will make us fruitful. Amen. Let us share Christ's peace with the world and with one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's pause for a birthday blessing. Anybody who has a birthday or anniversary in September?
Hi, everybody. Get birthdays today. Get blessed. I believe everybody, you know, happy to get birthday each month. So we're going to ask a prayer for this special birthday today. So please, if we can raise hands and bless this each individual birthdays. God, we ask for your beautiful love to this special birthday. Bless these beautiful days. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
And children, it's time to come forward. Alleluia. 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 Wow, look at all these bags piled up here. I am guessing that many of you know what's in this bag. Who knows? Anybody know? What is it? School stuff. Yeah, let's just have a quick look at what we have. And we have notebooks. Oh, wow, someone's going to get some really pretty ones. And we have, what are these?
Pencils.
And? And? What is this one? Ruler. And? Pens. And? Colored pencils. Do you know what's happening to these bags? They have come from the people of Prairie Street. Many people have gone shopping and have filled bags. And then these bags are going to go all around the world to different countries from right here at Prairie Street. They're going to go around the world. And children who might not have school supplies will have the pencils and the paper and the things they need. And we're glad for that, right? But you know what? There's something else that needs to go with these bags that isn't in this pile. What do you think needs to go? What do you say? Oh, scissors. You know, I don't know. I think they just don't send scissors. But I'm thinking about something like completely different, but not a school supply, but something we really want to send.
God with love.
God's love, yes. So what I would like to do, can we pass these? I want you to each hold one. Can you just keep on passing them down so everybody has one? Because we are going to bless these school bags with prayer before we do our procession to get the scripture. We get some all the way to the back so everybody has a bag. Avi has a bag to bless. And one more. How are we doing? Everybody has a bag. Okay. Now, congregation, we want you to extend your hand in blessing to these bags that are going to go out from Elkhart, Indiana, around the world. Are you ready to pray? Put your hand on the bag because you're sending your blessing and your love, and it will go with all the bags. Are you ready? Dear Jesus, who loves these children and loves children around the world and desires for them to learn and be confident and safe and loved, we send these bags with our blessing, with the hands that have prepared them and supplied them, and with those hands who will help them go all around the world. May these bags open with supplies for creativity and open with love. Amen. And all God's children say, all right, it's time for the song, and Kyle, grown-ups, is going to tell you where to turn for the Elabore song while we go get the Bible. So if you put your bags right back, oh, and here's the basket, too, for our other offering. Oh, my goodness, what a busy morning. If you put those bags right back at the front, we're going to go get the Bible for the reading.
The scripture today comes from John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes and makes it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing.
Juan, capítulo 15, 1 a 5, 9 a 11. Yo soy la vid verdadera, y mi padre es el labrador. Todo pámpano que en mí no lleva fruto lo quitará, y todo aquel que lleva fruto lo limpiará para que lleve más fruto. Ustedes ya están limpios por la palabra que les he hablado. Permanezcan en mí y yo en ustedes. Así como el pámpano no puede llevar fruto por sí mismo si no permanece en la vid, así tampoco ustedes si no permanecen en mí. Yo soy la vid y ustedes los pámpanos. El que permanece en mí y yo en él, este lleva mucho fruto, porque separados de mí ustedes nada pueden hacer.
As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
Así como el Padre me ha amado, así también yo los he amado a ustedes. Permanezcan en mi amor. Si obedecen mis mandamientos, permanecerán en mi amor, así como yo he obedecido los mandamientos de mi Padre y permanezco en su amor. Esas cosas les he hablado para que mi gozo esté en ustedes y su gozo sea completo.
The word of the Lord.
La palabra del Señor.
This morning we are grateful for Pastor Steve, who is bringing us a sermon entitled The Aim of the Journey. Let's pray for him. Gracious God, you have planted a message in Pastor Steve. May our hearts and minds be free to receive what you have for us here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning we begin a storytelling series about the long journey of Prairie Street. We're going to see the very rich, robust history that Prairie Street has enjoyed over the years. You'll be telling this story, a variety of stories, and its biblical basis and how we're part of this our heritage, while I'm doing my personal interviews. I'm listening to all of your stories, and in this time we'll be hearing a lot of your stories in the context of our worship here in September, October, and November. In 2 weeks, on September 16, we're going to do a timeline exercise in which we'll visually depict the history of Prairie Street, the long, rich journey of this congregation. We'll see just how robust its history has been and the rich heritage that brings us to this point. And we're also going to see that this church, like most churches in America, are experiencing numerical decline. But I don't need to tell you this. You all have been telling me about the decline in numbers over the years through these interviews I'm having. To many people, it seems as though the church is going round and round and round, going nowhere slow and making little progress and making a difference in the world. The church may seem like what poet, naturalist, and theologian Annie Dillard recalls in her chronicle, Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. In this, she has a nature lesson for us to consider. There's a certain moth caterpillar called pine processionaries that come out at night, and they travel through the pine trees looking for their food. They travel one after another, laying down a silken thread for those that would follow. It so happens that one day there's a naturalist in his greenhouse, and he finds these pine processionary caterpillars climbing up a large pot. Out of curiosity, he brushes away the silken thread that they're accustomed to follow and watches what happens. And he watches how they go round and round the rim of this pot in this closed circuit, continuing to lay down additional threads. They're held captive to this journey. Out of curiosity, he watches just how long this would take. And it's not just for an hour or two, but the whole day he observes them going round and round, making no progress except around the rim of the pot. He returns the next day and finds that the pine processionary caterpillars are asleep and they're kind of huddled up. At a certain point, they kind of rouse themselves and they continue their journey round and round the rim of their pot. He wants to see what would happen next, and he notices how one strikes off the rim of the pot and begins to lay down a silken thread down the pot, and he lays some of the food that they desire, the pine needles. They almost reach the pine needles when, for some mysterious reason, they return and follow the thread back up the pot and go round and round, continuing what he describes as their doomed march. The next day, they continue. And finally, that one caterpillar that ventures off the course lays down a silken thread that the others discover and follow, and they're able to return and stagger to their nest. This is a picture of what to many people the church is like, going round and round without a sense of real direction or meaning. It used to be that Christians would keep up this journey and continue in the church with others to follow this path for two reasons. One, this is how you get saved. Believe in Jesus, obey the Bible, and go to church. All done so that you could get to heaven. Well, this no longer holds people to the path and no longer is a clear and compelling reason. Or it could be that the second is that it's the social thing to do. That long in our history, attendance in a religious community was social convention. This is where you went to find meaningful connections with those who are like-minded. But there are so many other ways in which people find ways to connect that the church no longer is the center as it used to be. And so the church in its journey, if it's to continue, needs to find a more clear and compelling reason for why we make this journey together. That it's not just that this is what we're commanded to do so that we get saved in an afterlife. It's something that we do for something that's much greater that makes a difference here and now. We need a reason. People need to know the purpose and the point of it all. Why are we making this journey? What is the aim of its journey? And we also need to experience something along the way to hold us on the journey, that it holds something for us here and now, that it makes a difference. So as we begin this storytelling series of Prairie Street, we want to first begin on this day to really look at the aim of our journey. What's the purpose of following the path that we do? What is there to experience along the way that holds us on this journey together as God's people, and how do we make it? We find this spelled out in a variety of ways at different places in the Bible, but my go-to text when I think about the meaning and the purpose of our Christian life, why we make this journey following the call of Jesus, is in John 15. We all have kind of a canon within the canon that we turn to. And for me, if Jesus is the center and the Gospels are the center of our New Testament, John is my favorite Gospel. I love the rich way that he describes these discourses at the end, these conversations. They're so intimate that Jesus has with his disciples. And in John 15, we have what for me is so central. So I'd like to have us look to this particular passage to consider the aim of our journey. And for this, I ask you to turn to the insert that I've prepared here on the call of Jesus. And for me, it comes down to this, that the aim of our Christian journey is to enjoy and extend God's abundant life. To enjoy and extend God's abundant life, and it's characterized as it's described in the Gospel of John in terms of freedom, love, and peace. That this is the aim that we keep before us. This is the purpose and the point of our journey. This is what we experience along the way that we want to share with others. The freedom, the love, and the peace of God as found in Christ. So let's look a little more closely at this. If this becomes something of a purpose or a mission statement, the aim of our journey, so we're really clear how we continue this. As one outside observer says at Prairie Street has a history of really worshiping and admiring its history, and the call remains to honor its history. That as we continue our journey, we're not simply just looking back and wanting to continue what was laid down before us, but it has purpose and direction. There is an aim that we're called with Christ, and it's this. First of all, I'll take the word enjoy. We heard in this passage from John 15 that Jesus said, I have said all these things that my joy be in you, and that your joy may be complete. I've heard some of you in my conversations here describe a spirit of seriousness of Prairie Street. And so a couple of people have said of the party team, where's the party? that the party team looks after some rather mundane things. But where is the party? Where is the celebration? Where is the joy of Jesus? It is here, and it's experienced in a variety of places. But in our journey, we are meant to enjoy. To enjoy this good life together. But it's not just for us to enjoy alone, but it's also to extend. So we enjoy and we extend so that others might also share in this. And this is all God's. All this is from God, the creator of love and life. And God reveals God's purpose in Jesus, in God's spirit, as Jesus is describing it here, is like a life-giving sap, the vine that gives life to the branches, empowering us to live out this call, to live out this abundant life. And it is about this, about abundant life. Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and life abundantly. The intent here is that we enjoy the life that God provides in the here and now, in all of its fullness and abundance. Witness the Garden of Eden, the fruitful fields of feasts of food and wine, and the city of heaven described in the Bible. It's replete with all kinds of things that speak of abundance that we as God's people are to enjoy and to extend to all people around the world for them to enjoy as well. It's about these three things: freedom, love, and peace. It involves freedom from bondage, from oppression, from various addictions and other sins so that we can enjoy. We need to be set free so that we can enjoy God's life. The heart of all this is love. Jesus makes it clear in a variety of ways that the heart of God is love. And as John would say elsewhere in his writings, God is love. And this is the heart. And this is what we're called to live with God's self and all people, sharing of ourselves and sharing of our abundant resources. And then all of this then results in God's peace. As we live in this freedom that we have in Christ, as we try to fulfill and to embody God's love, we extend God's shalom, God's peace. This rich word shalom that speaks of a peaceable order where there is collective security, justice, and well-being throughout all of creation. So that, in short, is it: to enjoy and to extend God's abundant life of freedom, love, and peace. This last week when I had in my conversation with Kevin Kaufman of this congregation, he told me his story that he has shared with you in his public testimony. And I heard in his story someone who is experiencing this abundant life in Christ. He shared of his something of his captivity to alcohol and how that resulted in being placed in a correctional facility. And there, the best thing that happened in his life, as he described it, he experienced the love of God in the sun that was coming through the correctional facility window on him. He heard something of the voice of God that you do not belong here, and experienced something of God's love. An experience that set him free, and upon release from the correctional facility, to be truly free from this overpowering addiction. And then to experience what he describes as this happiness, this deep sense of peace. Here is somebody who is experiencing it, the freedom, love, and peace, as he described, and I was really touched by his story. In him, there is someone who kind of really gets it, and so then has a motivation to stay on the journey. So I really appreciated, Kevin, what you shared with me, speaking of what we're to experience along the way, that the Christian journey is not something that we do, it's just so that we get to be in heaven with God and the life hereafter. But it is a life to be experienced here and now. And recognizing this, we want to share with others. So that's the first part of the statement, to enjoy and extend God's abundant life of freedom, love, and peace. The second part of this is more the instrumental, the how. How do we live this out? And Jesus makes it clear in this arboriculture lesson that he's providing in John 15 that it involves first and foremost abiding in him. He says, abide in me as I abide in you. It's interesting that this word that is used elsewhere in the New Testament speaks of the coupling together of the inner and the outer. There is an inner dimension to our life with God in Christ in spirit that is at the core. Jesus said that a branch that is separated from its vine cannot live. That inner connection, that connectivity of our life with the vine is essential. The word, interesting enough, in that Jesus uses in this passage is the Greek word meno, M-E-N-O, meno. I suggest to us as we think about Prairie Street as a community of God's people on a journey to reconsider our name as Mennonites, dropping one of the N, those who follow in the tradition of Menno Simons, to Mennonites, single N, of those who abide in Christ. Coupling the inner, that we are connected with kind of the inner and the outer, or as you have in the visualization that you have of the Prairie Street tree, the two kind of pillars, these two strands of formation and witness. That this abiding is critical to our formation as a people, those who are grafted and connected to the vine. But again, if this is a life that's for others, and so Jesus speaks of branching out to others. Later at the end of the gospel, we hear Jesus said, as God has sent me, so I send you. We are sent with a mission. We are a sent people. Or to use the image here, that we branch out. Yesterday, I spent most of the day working in my woods, doing a lot of vegetation control. And one of the things that I was focusing on was containing or controlling a lot of wild grape. Grapevines are very aggressive in their growth habit. They spread, they overtop, they can easily take over. And so part of my management plan that I have with the Department of Natural Resources is to control my wild grapevines. In the early church, they really held to this image. In a study tour that I did tracing the mission expansion of the early church in Greece, Italy, and Tunisia, and Egypt, the monasteries, the places that I went to, one common thing I saw again and again was the image of the vine, an important image drawn from Jesus' teaching that it's the nature of the vine to branch out, to spread. And that's what we're to do, to spread, bearing this abundant life. And finally, it's about bearing fruit for God. Jesus says that God delights in this, that you abide in me and that you bear fruit for God. It's about bearing fruit. That's the nature of vines, to produce fruit. And we're to delight in being fruitful. As we live in this journey, as we become fruitful, there's something very satisfying when we see that making this journey and bearing fruit is something that is bringing abundance to others, and it's something that we can delight in. So all of this, bringing together, it's all about what Jesus says about abundant life. That's what our journey is about. Enjoying this for ourselves, with one another, and for all people. And so as we make this journey, as we hear the story told in these next several months from a variety of perspectives, think of ourselves as this branch, this living branch of Jesus that continues to spread, to reach out into South Central Elkhart and beyond, and through the various people in our congregation, literally around the world, bearing fruit for God. And as we realize this, the journey that we take will have more meaning, more joy, more satisfaction. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you for the call that you extend to us, calling us your friends, those who follow in your way. We pray, O Christ, that you'd help us to follow the silken thread that leads through the scriptures to you and beyond to eternal life in all of its abundance here and now and the life hereafter. We pray that we would know the power of your Spirit, that life-giving sap that flows through us, that we might bear fruit and branch out to others. Let us be faithful to your call. Let us rediscover the aim of it all in our journey together. For in your name we pray this. Amen.
Please turn to number 373 in the blue hymnal, Thou True Vine That Heals. And those who are able, please stand. And in Sing the Journey, the Green Book, we will sing number 69. And we'll sing verse 1 in English, then verse 1 in Spanish.
Thank you.
Señor Dios Todopoderoso, Padre y Eterno, te damos gracias por tus bendiciones, tu gran misericordia. Bendice estas donaciones y bendice nuestros hogares. Te pedimos por salud, por los viajes, por el regreso a casa. Thanks God for let us traveling, for give us opportunity to back home, for the little kids, for the conviction of prison, the person help, for the Green Cross, where people live there, for Grand Mercy body, for healing, again, for people traveling and back home, for seminary studying, we pray. Por tu gran misericordia, amén.
And please turn to number 420 in the blue hymnal, Heart with Loving Heart United. And those who are able, please stand.
Now receive this blessing. May God, the vine grower, tend you and make you fruitful. May Christ Jesus abide in you and give you life. And may the Holy Spirit confirm within you the purpose and aim and truth for you and make your joy complete. Amen.